Would you take your Bibles, please, and open with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, the fifth chapter, John chapter 5. In a moment, begin reading in verse 1 of John 5 and read down to verse 9. Could read the whole chapter. It's all pertaining to the same event. What I'd like to do is first look at the event and then look later, Lord willing, next week at the reaction to the event, which is perhaps even a bigger truth for all of us. But we'll begin reading there, John 5. Let's stand if you're able to stand. If not, please remain seated. And a simple message this morning, I trust, will be a help to you. Verse 1. Let's read responsibly. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the waters trouble, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Amen. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. Amen. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father, please bless the message today. I ask you this morning for an enablement of thy Spirit. Lord, I know that we are to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we preach. And I pray that I would do that today. Please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds this morning. And may we learn some simple yet profound truths from this story today. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day that they get saved. Amen. And Father, for the believer, that you would challenge us today and perhaps help us to revisit that time that we got saved. Amen. And the great work that you did in our hearts and lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now here in John chapter 5 and verse 1, we find the Lord Jesus Christ going up to Jerusalem with his disciples to observe one of the three feast days that took place in Jerusalem. Now, there's a gap between John chapter 4 and John chapter 5. And I'm not going to get into all the details there. But we do know he was in John chapter 4 in the town of Cana. How many remember that? Oh, only three of you. Good. I feel good this morning. Well, let's go back and do that message again. Amen.
Amen.
How many would now remember that? The nobleman that came to him from Capernaum and asked to heal his son. Everybody? Praise the Lord. And he healed him. Amen.
Amen.
But again, there's a gap there. So what happened was Christ left Cana. He went to Nazareth. I'm not going to get into all the details. He then left Nazareth and went to Capernaum, where several things happened. He called his disciples into the ministry, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, if you remember. They made professions of faith or trusted him or turned to him from John the Baptist already. Now they're entering into the ministry full time. He does that in Capernaum along with doing some healings. He heals a demoniac in the synagogue there on the Sabbath day. He heals Peter's mother-in-law, if you remember that story there in Capernaum as well. And then he takes his disciples that have now given their life to him, and they go on a tour, if you will, throughout the cities and towns of Galilee, preaching and teaching Jesus Christ, healing and doing those sorts of things. These things all occurred in the first year of Christ's public ministry on earth. And this leads us here to John chapter 5. Now in our text again, he comes back from Capernaum down to Jerusalem to observe a feast day. He's with his disciples. When he's there, he sees this crippled man that is laying by the pool of Bethesda. And what does he do? He heals him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Now, this healing is going to mark the beginning of the conflict between Jesus Christ and religion. May I say today, there is a conflict between Jesus Christ and religion. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Amen. I'm going to say that over and over again this morning. Religion does not a whole lot for you, except bring forth guilt and so forth. But understand, there's this conflict that begins that is going to eventually culminate at the cross of Calvary. But I'd like to deal with the miracle this morning and preach on a phrase, really a subject, that I get it from the phrase that we find in verse 6. Notice what we read. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, will you read this with me? Wilt thou be made whole? Let's say it again. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you know what we find in this wonderful miracle? We find a picture of salvation.
Amen.
We really do. We see a picture of what Jesus Christ will do for anyone and everyone who will come to Him by faith and trust Him as their Savior. You say, how do you see this parallel? Well, that's what the message is about. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I'd like for us to notice three particular things about this miracle as we compare it to the miraculous work of salvation that God does in the heart of people. Notice number one, the circumstances of the miracle. What are the circumstances? Well, we find them in verses 1 through 5. Notice, first of all, the place that it happened. Now, my wife and I had the privilege of going to Israel. Thank the Lord and thank the church for that. We saw this place that it happened. It is called the Pool of Bethesda. The word Bethesda means this, house of mercy. And so here Jesus Christ comes into the city of Jerusalem. He comes most likely, in through the sheep gate. And he's standing there at this place called the place of mercy. Now get a hold of that, if you will, for a moment. The sheep gate or the sheep market is where they brought the sacrifices in to make an atonement for their sins. And now here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, entering in this sheep gate.
Amen.
Coming to the place of mercy. We all need mercy, don't we? Do we not?
Amen.
You know how we're saved? We're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's by His mercy. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us.
Amen.
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing the place that this miracle happened.
Amen.
The Lamb of God standing there at the place of mercy. And notice secondly, the people that were there. We see at this pool a host of people. They're laying around this amazing place. You see, this pool had all these porches around it. Five of them, the Bible says. And on each of these porches, people would come around from all over the place to try to get healing. Notice, if you will, verses 3 and 4. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Notice, they're blind, they're withered, they're lame people. And they're waiting there, why? To be healed. Oh, they have such a great need. They are helpless and hopeless. You see, there was an angel that came down and it would stir the waters of this pool on occasion. And when the angel did that, the very first person that would make it into the waters would be healed. You say, preacher, do you believe that story to be true? Yes, I do.
Amen.
You say, how can you? It's in the Bible. Just as much as that angel released Peter from prison when he was in prison in Acts chapter 12. But here are these people waiting either to be healed or to die. And Jesus Christ shows up. Notice he sees this multitude. And thirdly, we see the person he saw. He sees this man in verse 5. He is a man that has had an infirmity, notice, for 38 years. This man has been crippled. He's been unable to walk, unable to get himself up, had to be carried. Imagine that. Every single place that he went, he was a man that Christ noticed that was both helpless and he was hopeless.
Amen.
Oh, what circumstances we see of this miracle. Do you know what I parallel that to this morning? I parallel this picture, if you will, of the condition of mankind without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There they are. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 that those without Christ are without strength.
Right.
Ephesians 2:12, they have no hope. Do you see it this morning? Do we have to hear the Lord as He said to His disciples, lift up your eyes for the fields are white already under harvest? Do we see today a world that is lost and on their way to hell, looking for answers, looking for solutions, yet they are laying there crippled in their sin, bound by their sin? Do we have the compassion of Jesus Christ today?
Amen. That's right.
This is where He was. This is what He saw. Imagine these multitudes of people and the Lamb of God comes willing to show mercy to this man. You know, Christ is interested in individuals, isn't He?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. He sees the multitudes. He sees the lame. He sees the helpless and hopeless. Yet He deals with each of us as individuals. Nobody's saved by someone else's faith, by the way.
Amen.
Nobody's saved by somebody else's religion, by the way.
Amen.
We're saved through individual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ deals with us as individuals. Can I ask you this morning, has He dealt with you yet?
Amen.
He's going to deal with this man. And so we see the circumstances of this miracle. Secondly, we see the conversation with Christ. Notice what He does. Christ notices this man. Think about that. Look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, and we'll get to this in a moment, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Notice Jesus Christ sees this man.
Amen.
He sees this individual. He knows his needs. He sees him again as helpless and hopeless in need of Christ. And He engages him in a conversation. He has compassion on him. Can I ask you this morning, do we have compassion on the lost? Because when Jesus Christ looks out on this world and He sees the condition of it, He sees what's going on, by the way.
Right.
He does not get angry. He has compassion. The Bible said in Matthew 9:36, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with what? Compassion. He had compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted as sheep without a shepherd. What do you and I see when we look outside? When we see what the world is doing, when we hear the news, when we listen to the laws that are being passed, and we're getting stirred by those things, be careful that we don't get angry. Be careful we don't say, away with them. May we have the heart of Jesus Christ and see them as sheep without a shepherd. The world needs the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ had compassion.
Amen.
So what does He do? He approaches this man. And He begins to engage this man in a conversation. Notice some things about this conversation. First of all, Christ's question. He says to this man, wilt thou be made whole? Now that's an interesting question if you ask me.
Amen.
In other words, what He's saying to this man, watch this. He's saying, excuse me, sir, do you want to be healed?
Amen.
Now put yourself in his shoes. Put yourself on the ground in front. Do I want to be healed? You ask that question. On the surface, it may seem like a strange question. Because he's been there for 38 years. Every day he comes to this place for healing.
Right.
He can't move. Someone's had to drag him there every single day of his life. All he's been doing every day is watching and waiting and hoping. And he's being asked, do you want to be healed? That's a legitimate question.
Amen.
You say, why is that? Do you know that although this man certainly did, I believe, wanted to be healed, there are some people that don't want to be healed.
Right.
Now, they may not say that, but there are people that revel in their infirmities. Here's what I mean by that. They like the attention. They like the sympathy. They like to talk about themselves. They like to for people to say, "Oh, baby, what's the matter with you? You don't look too happy today." And they revel in those things. They like to post things online about how ill they are and text the world about their condition because they're reveling in the attention that they get. Some people are like that. Now, it got awful quiet in here all of a sudden.
Right.
But it's true.
Right.
Do you know it's the same with salvation?
Amen.
There are, even though Jesus Christ offers salvation free as a free gift to all who will accept, as you know, when He comes to people and through witnessing and people say, "Do you want to be saved?" Some people say, "No, thank you."
Right.
I can never get over the times that I talk to people about the Lord and I bring them through the Bible and they see from the Bible that they're a sinner. They see from the Bible that their sin brings the penalty of death and hell. And they see that they're destined for hell, but that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And all they simply have to do is, by faith, call upon the name of the Lord. And as I'm getting to that last verse, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, what's going on through my mind is, man, this guy's going to get saved. Praise the Lord. And I say, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? No, thank you. No, thank you. How many know what I'm talking about? You want to say, what do you mean, no, thank you? What do you mean you don't want to be saved? You see your condition. You see you're on your way to hell. You see that Jesus Christ offers a free way out without religion, without anything else. And you're saying no? Have you lost your mind? That's what I want to say. I have yet to say that, though. But some people don't want spiritual healing. They like their religion. They like what they have, but they don't want to be saved. And I'll get to this in a moment. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ said that there would be many that will say in that day, "Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name cast out devils? And in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In other words, they believe in God and they've even done things in the name of their so-called God. But the truth of the matter is that they never got the spiritual healing that Jesus Christ provides.
Right.
So I want to ask you the question this morning. Wilt thou be made whole?
Amen.
Do you want to be saved today?
Praise the Lord.
You can.
It's
amazing that out of one side of some people's mouth, they'll tell you they don't want to go to hell, but out of the other side of their mouth, they'll tell you that they don't want to get saved. It doesn't make sense, because the only way to get saved is through Jesus Christ. The only way to stay out of hell is to be saved.
Amen. That's right.
But they don't want that. Christ's question. Then notice also the man's confusion. I think as this man, as Jesus Christ enters into this sheep gate as the Lamb of God, he walks to this pool of mercy, this pool of Bethesda. He sees all of the five porches covered with people there. He draws his attention to one man he wants to deal with as an individual. He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man is confused. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, look at his answer. He says in verse 7, I think I'm on the wrong page. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." You say, what's he confused about? His confusion was this. He saw that there was only one possible way to be healed, and that was the water.
That's right.
He's thinking, there's my answer. There's that. That's what I need to get to. I got to get into that water. That's where my answer is. That's how I'm going to be healed. You see, to him getting healed was a difficult thing. To him getting healed was a complicated thing. Little did he realize that the very God that made those waters was standing right before him offering a healing.
Yeah.
Didn't even see it. Little did he know that the very God that sent that angel to stir the waters was speaking with him. The very God that had the power to do everything was standing before him, and he would gladly heal his body and forgive his sins.
Amen.
The answer is right in front of his nose. So I got to get to that water. Crazy. But you know what? People's ideas of salvation are crazy.
Right, that's right.
Oh, we went out yesterday. We're not us. Many, many, many yesterday for some reason. Roman Catholics. And one after the other was trusting in the priest to get them to heaven, was trusting in their church to get them to heaven, was trusting in the Mass to get them to heaven, or baptism, or the sacraments, or whatever, you name it. All kinds of ideas. And the very one who wants to save them, they reject.
Right.
Some people have the idea, if I just clean up my life, I'll get to heaven. If I just turn over a new leaf, if I start going to church and treating my neighbor better, and they make it complicated and confusing, and all along they miss the simplicity of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
All this man had to do was believe.
Amen.
That's it.
That's right.
And he would have been healed.
Praise the Lord.
So we see Christ's question. We see the man's confusion. But then notice we see Christ's instruction. He says to him, Jesus saith unto him in verse 8, rise, take up thy bed, and walk.
Amen.
Now think about this man. He's laying there on this concrete slab along with probably a multitude of people. He's engaged with this conversation of Christ who says, you want to be made whole? He says, yeah, I just can't get to the water. He says, all right, rise, take up thy bed and walk.
Amen.
That's it?
Right.
That's it? It's that simple? Just get up and take up my bed and walk? Yes. Get the point. Don't miss it. If he wanted that healing, all he had to simply do was exactly what Jesus Christ said.
Amen.
He had to make a choice.
Right.
Who do I believe? Do I believe this? What people are saying about this water? Do I believe that water is going to help me? Do I believe in this person here?
Amen.
That offers a free gift of salvation and healing.
Thank you, Jesus.
He had to make a choice.
Amen.
I was talking to a lady yesterday and I asked her about her soul. And she said, well, you know, nobody knows her going to heaven. And I try to say this in the right spirit without acting prideful. I say, I do. I said, if you believe the Bible, you can know that for sure.
Amen.
And she said, well, I don't believe when we die that we go straight to heaven. I don't believe that. She said, I believe we go to purgatory. And I said, ma'am, according to the Word of God,
amen,
there is no purgatory.
Amen.
There's no idea of purgatory. There's word purgatory. You don't find it in the words of God.
Right.
If you're going to look to the words that God gave us, it's not there.
Right.
And so she had to make a choice. Am I going to believe the words of a man, the invention of a man, or am I going to believe the very words of God?
Amen.
Sad to say, she didn't want to see the Word of God. She chose the words of men. You see, it's the same with salvation. If we want to be saved, we have to come to God on His terms, not on ours. Not on our thoughts, but what He says. We have to do what He tells us in order to be saved. And again, so many people want to get to heaven, but they want to do it on their own terms.
Right.
And not God's. They want to get to heaven on their good works, on their religion, on their baptism, or on their own theological ideas. And by the way, there's many strange ones out there. Saw a guy yesterday and walked up to him. He didn't look too happy when he saw me walking up his driveway. I did not have a Bible under my arm. I tried to smile, but you could tell he didn't like strangers. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. And I said, hello, sir. How are you? Sorry to interrupt you this morning, but I'm here from Capital Baptist. I'm Pastor Moore from Capital Baptist Church. And as soon as I said that, I saw his face drop a little bit more even. And I said, I'd like to give you something that you can read. It's an invitation to church, but also something to read. I said, do you attend church anywhere? And he did this. And I said, okay. I wanted to do this back from. What's that? I said, what does that mean? He said, the world is my church. The world is my church. Interesting. Where are you going to go with that one, huh? What I'm trying to say is here, people have all kinds of ideas, their thoughts about getting to heaven. But there's only one way to heaven, and it's not just believing in God. It's not just saying, yes, Jesus exists.
Right.
It's believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And you repent of your sin, you trust Him as your personal Savior, realizing that your good works don't get you to heaven. Nothing gets you to heaven, but the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary gets you to heaven. See, how can you say that? I didn't say it.
Amen.
He did.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. So you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice.
Amen.
You going to believe the religion of the day? You going to believe what perhaps you were even brought up with and what you were taught? Or are you going to believe the words of Jesus Christ Himself?
Amen.
The Bible. Don't trust in religion. Don't trust in the waters. Trust in Jesus Christ alone. So we see the circumstances of this miracle. We see the conversation with Christ. And then thirdly and lastly, notice the change in this man. By the way, this man believed the Lord. He trusted His word. You say, how do you know that? Because of what he did. Notice we read, if you will, in verse 9, after Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Notice, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And by the way, that last phrase is going to introduce a whole series of discussions Christ is going to have about that on the Sabbath day. But we won't go there right now. But understand what happened when this man decided, I'm not going to trust in the waters. I'm not going to trust in someone getting me there. I'm going to trust in this person that said, rise up and walk.
Praise the Lord.
When he trusted Christ, I would say, to say the least, his life was changed.
Amen.
38 years.
Amen.
Not days. Not minutes. Man, we'd be crying after 38 seconds. Oh, Lord, this isn't fair. I don't like it. 38 years.
Amen.
And he stands up and he walks. He was changed through the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind us today that when a person comes to know Christ as their Savior, Christ changes them.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He changes us. It's not something we do on our own. It's something He does from the inside out.
Amen.
Well, I'm trying to change. He changes us.
Hallelujah.
Notice the threefold change. First of all, there was a rising. Now, that's implied. But notice that immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed. Obviously, he rose up, like Christ said, to rise and take up thy bed and walk. And understand, when a person gets saved, there is a rise in that person's character. There's a rise in that person's morals. There's a rise in that person's spirituality. The work of the gospel raises men like no man-made program can.
Amen.
Oh, I get so grieved when people that are struggling with things and they go to these secular programs or they go to these pseudo-Christian psychobabble programs for help. When all along we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything we need in the Word of God.
Amen.
When a person gets saved, he changes us.
Amen.
It's that change from within. There's a rising. And secondly, there's a taking. He took up his bed. He didn't need that old bed anymore. He had that bed for 38 years. There it was. It was with him everywhere he went. They carried him, laid the bed down, and laid him on. This man was identified with that old bed. But now he didn't need it anymore.
Amen.
Same thing when a person gets saved.
Right.
Oh, that old life, those old ways, that old sin that we've been reveling in all those years. We don't need it anymore when we come to Christ as Savior.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, there is a repudiation of that lifestyle, knowing what the devil did to us in it.
Right.
God help us. There's a taking up of his bed. And by the way, he probably didn't, I don't think he wanted to go back. I don't think he was saying, man, if I could only get back on that bed again. Hey, if I could only lay down like I once did for 38 years. No, he said, no way, I don't want that life. And it ought to be the same way with a believer.
Amen.
We should say, I don't want that sin. I don't want those philosophies. I don't want the junk of the world.
Right.
I'm going to take that bed and get rid of it. I'm a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. God help those teenagers that try to look at that bed and think there's something wonderful about it. There ain't nothing wonderful about it. And that ain't good grammar, but it's good preaching. Nothing wonderful about it. The only trials and troubles and defeat and death. That's what the end of sin is.
Right.
So there's a rising. And then there's a taking. And then there's a walking. He took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Can you imagine the talk of the city? Can you imagine seeing this man as he's walking around? I'd imagine people saying, you know that? That looks like that guy that people carry around. That looks like that guy but I don't know, I couldn't tell how tall he was. He was always down there. But look, boy, it seems like him. It looks like him. Is that him? Because he never walked that way before.
Amen.
And that's what the gospel does it not?
Amen.
Oh, when you get saved, we come to know Christ as Savior. He changes us. He puts in our hearts a desire to attend church, be with God's people, to learn things from His Word, to hear the preaching of the Word of God, and to live in a way that pleases the Savior that died for our sins.
Amen.
New walk. By the way, if you don't have this rising and taking of the bed and walking, perhaps you didn't get what you thought you got. I'm just saying. Because it's not something we generate on our own. It's something that God does in us. Oh, how many years when I worked in Atlantic City and I drove from Absecon down there, did I take Pitney Road there, and I'd take a road out and I'd go right past an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. For years I had no idea it was there. Why? I didn't care it was there. Till God,
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Came in through the sheep gate.
Praise the Lord.
And he saw through the multitudes of people laying impotent around, and he walked up to me and said to me, take up thy bed and walk. And my wife and I were there, and we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, I'll tell you what, that place became so special to us. There was no place we'd rather be than with God's people. Oh, I know, imperfect. I understand that. You don't have to tell me that. But I'll tell you what, I'd take God's people over the world any day of the week.
Amen.
With all the backbiting and all the politics that go on in the workplace, you all know about it.
Right.
Thank the Lord that we can walk with people that at least know the Lord and want to serve the Lord and love Him. God help us. You see, these are all marks of the new birth. The fact that when it was asked, would you be made whole, you said yes. Oh, I love Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2. The Bible says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. That's the 2 Corinthians 5:17 of the Old Testament right there. When we get saved, He picks us up out of that miry clay, and He sets our feet upon a rock. He establishes our going, and He gives us a new song in our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
And people look, say, something happened to that person.
Glory to God.
What happened? Well, when Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?"
Amen.
He said, "Yes."
Praise the Lord.
So let me ask you something this morning. Do you know Him as Savior?
Amen.
Have you experienced this great miracle, a spiritual miracle of the new birth? I'm not talking about having some ideas in your head. I'm not talking about a general nod. I'm not even talking about saying a prayer one time in your life. I'm talking about you truly repenting of your sin and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you bear the marks of a believer today.
Amen.
We're imperfect. I understand that. But there's marks that are there. And if you don't bear those marks,
amen.
Perhaps today is the day you need to nod to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "I want to be made whole today.
Amen.
I want the new birth. I want Christ as my Savior. I want to know my sins are forgiven and that I have a home in heaven."
Amen.
If you don't know that, get it settled today. Let's pray together.